Estela. Let's just read. And even though I covered 2 Corinthians, chapter 4, and I covered verse 7 last week, but we're just going to read verse 7 again, down through the other verses, down to verse 15. A beautiful piece of scripture tonight, hallelujah. Probably one of the most quoted scriptures in the Bible for the Christian. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 7. For we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellence of the power may be of God and not of us. We are hard pressed on every side, yet not crushed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed. Always carrying about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our body. For we who live are always delivered to death for Jesus' sake, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our mortal flesh. So then death is working in us, but life in you. And since we have the same spirit of faith, according to what is written, I believed and therefore I spoke. We also believe, therefore we speak. Knowing that he who raised up the Lord Jesus will also raise us up with Jesus and will present us with you. For all these things are for your sake, that grace, having spread through the many, may cause thanksgiving to abound to the glory of God. Amen. Can you pray for me tonight? Pray for yourselves and pray for me. And listen, maybe you're in this place and you're in a... You don't know what it is to be a Christian. If you think about becoming a Christian or you've never really heard the word of God, just listen, in your own heart, ain't got to bow your head. Just say it in your own mind, in your own heart. Say, Lord, if this is real, speak to me. Ask the Lord to reveal himself to you, and I believe he will. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Bless us all tonight. Speak to us, Lord. And have your way, my God. Let the learning be for living, my Lord. Amen. So just to recap, at the end of the last time I preached, he said, we have this treasure in earthen vessels. The excellence of the power of God may not be of us. So an earthen vessel is something like a clay jar, clay pot. In the ancient world, they stored everything, wine, water, food, goods, everything. They stored in like clay pots, clay jars. And he says, we have this treasure in earthen vessel. Paul tells the Corinthians that they have something wonderful and glorious inside. You know, the Bible teaches us that when we get saved and we accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Saviour, that we become the temple of the Holy Spirit. That means, Jesus said, I stand at the door and knock, and he who lets me in, I will come in and sup with him. That we have fellowship now with God, we become the temple of the Holy Spirit, that God himself, the Holy Spirit, comes and lives inside of us. And Paul was saying that we have this treasure, something so glorious, something so wonderful, something so precious beyond measure, but it's stored in an earthen vessel. Something fragile. Something that can break. Something that could be broken. Something that might have a few cracks in it. And a few chips and knocks. But inside is stored something so wonderful. We are the dwelling place of God. That's what the Bible teaches us. And I want to encourage you tonight that maybe you feel far from the Lord. And I want to tell you something. If you're born again in this place, God lives in you. You're not far, you feel far from God, but that's a feeling. Because God lives in you. You are the dwelling place of God. And I think there's something that we see through the scriptures. In the own mind, I can see that Paul struggled with that understanding. Because to the Jews, God was something so glorious, so wonderful. So, when he said that, when Moses went to the burning bush, he says, who shall I say sent me? He said, I am. He's telling him, I am sent you. The Jews wouldn't say, they wouldn't use the word I am. They wouldn't say I am this or I am that. They wouldn't even use the word I am in their own language. Because it's like they was putting the name of God into something that they, alongside them, and they wasn't worthy. They had this idea that God, and they had the right idea that God is powerful and wonderful and awesome and gracious and great, the creator of all things. It was God's plan all along. As big as God is, that he created the whole universe, the Bible says that he spanned with his arms the width and the depth of the universe. It's something so big, the universe, with so much in it, they can't measure it. It's unmeasurable. And our God created that. So how big is he? That he made something that we can't measure, but yet he made himself small enough to live in a man or a woman. He made it possible that he might dwell inside a man or a woman, inside their life, inside their marriages, inside their minds, inside their hearts. And he says, if we demonstrate any power, that power is through the glory of God. Because it's not the clay jar that is special. No matter how beautiful that you paint something, the clay jar is still only a clay jar. What's precious is inside of it. He said the power of the Christian life comes from what's inside that clay jar. He goes on to say in verse 8, we are hard pressed on every side, yet not crushed. We are perplexed, but not destroyed. So now he goes on about what he is. He said, inside me is something precious, but me, myself, we're hard pressed on every side, yet not crushed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Hard pressed on every side, perplexed, means to be without strength, or to be unable to help yourself. It's hard pressed on every side. I can't even help myself. I can't get out of my own way. There's nothing I can physically do about my situation. It is hard pressed. It gives the idea of like putting grapes in a wine press and squeezing them and breaking them till all the goodness comes out of them, till they get the juice out of them to make the wine, till all the goodness comes out of them. We are hard pressed on every side. But let me tell you something. He says, even though we are unprecedented on every side, we are not crushed. What that word means, not broken in pieces. It's not impossible for God to put us back together and fix us. When something's smashed to pieces, a piece of glass is broken, and it's all little pieces, how would you put that back together? You say, sweep that up, throw it in the bin, I'll have to get another one. God hasn't let us go to that point. We are hard pressed on every side. Yes, we are crushed. To the point, Lord, I feel like I've got nothing good left in me at all. I've got nothing left to give. All the goodness is out of me. All my strength, everything I had is out of me. There's no goodness left in me at all. But Lord, yeah, I know. You haven't allowed me to be broken into pieces. You haven't allowed me to come to such a place where I can't be fixed, where I can't be put back together, where something can't be done for me. And that's the wonderful God that we serve. Let me tell you something. Have you ever heard that saying, make an omelette, you've got to break a few eggs. And make wine, you've got to crush grapes. To get the goodness out of us. And that, what's that goodness inside of us? We have this treasure in earthen vessels. What is the goodness inside of us? He says, that the excellence of the power may not be of us, it's of the Lord. What is the goodness inside of us that God wants the world to see? Him, hallelujah. Him. God sometimes allows us, have you ever thought with that? That God allows us to be crushed sometimes. He allows us to go through hardships so that something good of him might come out of us. That the world might see the goodness that comes out of us that is him. Even though we are pressed, we are not broken in pieces. Even though we are struck down, we are not without hope. That's what that word means, destroyed. We are struck down. We are perplexed, but not in despair, sorry it says. It means that we're not without hope. We have an hope in the Lord. We have an hope to say, Lord, I'm in a terrible situation. I'm in a dark place. I can't see a way out. I can't help myself. There's no one around me can help me. I don't know what to do. I don't know what to think. I don't even know what to say in this situation, Lord. But I know that you have a way. That I have an hope in you. That you won't allow me to be broken into pieces. Our help comes, hallelujah. Brothers and sisters, you've quoted this to yourself, this scripture, like I have, a million times. And it's always been in them hardest places, isn't it? Well, even someone say to you, we're struck down, but we're not destroyed. And we say hallelujah, didn't we? It's true. Christians throughout the ages have took this blessing on board and they have found comfort in the scripture. You know what it means? We are knocked down, but we're not knocked down. The fight goes on. We're knocked down. We're in a battle, we're having a fight, and sometimes when you're having a fight, you're in a battle, and sometimes you feel like you're taking 90. Lord, I'm losing this one. We are knocked down, but we are not knocked down. He says in verse 9, persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed. He tells them they are persecuted, but not forsaken. That word there for persecution means to chase after somebody, to catch them with the intention to do their harm. To chase after someone in such a way that when you get hold of them, they're going to get it. You're going to do them harm. That's what it means to be persecuted. And sometimes we can feel like that. Listen, I don't think we suffer persecution like your brothers and sisters do in other countries. The Christians in Nigeria now, the Muslims are going into villages and slaughtering thousands of them. Men, women and children. And the news refused to say anything about it until people got involved. Now they've started to speak about it. I see him the other day, I saw a video in a village, a mass grave, 40 or 50 people wrapped up in cloths laid in this grave. And the preacher standing there preaching the gospel over them, saying, please, someone in the world, come and help us. They're being slaughtered. Like, what persecution do we get? Like, all right, it's getting to the point now, you might get locked up for saying you shouldn't. But like, for us, especially for gypsy travel people, he's called a dinmo, a crank. You know what I mean? I suffer that one, as long as someone ain't trying to chop the head off with a machete. You know what I mean? But he said, we are persecuted, but sometimes it do feel like, Lord, it just feels like something's on my case. Why won't we be? Like I'm being chased down. There's always something going wrong. It feels like it's like saints on me all the time. I feel like being chased down. I can't get out of my own way. There's always something going on. There's always this happening. There's always that happening. We are persecuted, but not forsaken. That word there, forsaken, means to be abandoned. To take somebody, leave them in the middle of a desert, without water, without food, without help, and just leave them. Destitute. Without hope. Abandoned. Let me tell you something. Something that my Jesus promised. Never will I leave you, never will I forsake you. Amen? Amen? Never will I leave you, and never will I forsake you. We are not abandoned, brothers and sisters. Because let me tell you something. I know like you do, the biggest struggles we have is on our own. In here. The biggest struggles we'll have, listen, you'll have struggles with children, you'll have struggles in marriage, you'll have financial struggles, you'll have sickness, you'll have things, but I think some of the biggest struggles we face is here, the battle of the mind, in our own lives, in a dark place. No one cares. I had a man say to me the other day, a good brother, no, not one soul cares about us. I said, it ain't true, because I care. I said, hey, there's one. There's one more than what you thought you had. Nobody cares. I feel like I've been abandoned. No one understands. No one's willing to step in this gap and help me. No, Lord, I'm completely. And our life can feel like that sometimes. But he says, you are persecuted, but you're not forsaken. Brothers and sisters, we are not abandoned tonight. The Lord has not abandoned us. He will not abandon you now or forever, and especially in your time of need. Especially in your time of need. Imagine what Peter, I often think to myself, Peter's on the boat and Jesus comes walking on the water. And he says, Lord, if it's you, command me and I'll get out and I'll come to you. And he says, come, it's me. It's me. Peter gets out, oh, he's walking on water. People say, well, Jesus walked on water, Peter walked on water as well. And all of a sudden he starts to look around him and whatever's going on, the wind and the waves and all that, and he takes trash probably and he starts to sink. And God forgive me, if that had been me in that situation, this is Andy. I've got out the boat, and now I'm mullering. You know what I mean? I'm going to drown here. And I'm, but really, the truth of the matter is, if you hadn't looked up, you'd have seen the Lord was right there with you, wouldn't he? But my first thought would be, this is Andy, I'm on my own mullering in the middle of the ocean somewhere, you know what I mean? But that's how we can feel. We feel abandoned, we can feel like without hope, we feel like I'm drowning. But then all of a sudden an hand reaches in and it pulls us out. And I can testify in my own life, I've been pulled out, I've been drowning a million times, and a million times the Lord has let down and pulled me out. And probably said the same thing, what are you looking about you for? What are you looking at all this for? Should have kept your eyes on me. We are persecuted. We are like, we sometimes feel like we're running. We have no strength. We're being chased down. There's something trying to do us harm. We feel like we're alone and no one will help. But we're not abandoned, brothers and sisters. You are never abandoned. The Bible says the Lord is an ever-present help in times of need. Take that on board tonight. Take that on board. I'm reminded of something I heard a long time ago. I think Charles preached it. And it touched me up. And you know the story about the woman who came through and touched the end of his garment? And all the people, there's probably hundreds, probably thousands of people pressing around Jesus. All a big crowd followed him, hundreds and hundreds of people. And he says, who touched me? And a woman come through and touched the end of his garment and he felt the power come out of him. She knew she'd been healed and he knew he'd healed someone. And he turned around and said, who's touched me? And they say, Lord, there's so many people here, there's so many people touching you. What do you mean who's touched you? He said, no, someone's touched me, so I felt the power go out from me. And he's seen a woman. And he turned around, and he's on his way to heal this other man's daughter, Jairus' daughter. He's on his way to heal the ruler of the synagogue's daughter. And then all of a sudden he stopped. And he turned around, and he's talking to this woman. And he took time to speak to this woman. And I want to tell you something, that you know with Jesus, nobody gets lost in the crowd. Nobody's abandoned. You might feel like, no one understands my situation. No one's going through what I'm going through. And all them things might be true. They might not be lies. But with Christ, now in this church, there's probably people in here who don't know what you're going through. There's probably people in here who don't understand your situation or how you feel or what's happening in your life. But you know with Jesus, just like the woman who touched him with his garment, she never got lost in the crowd, did she? He spent time with that one woman and he spoke to her. She never got lost in the crowd. And I want to tell you something tonight. Nobody gets lost in the crowd of Jesus. Because you're persecuted, but you're not abandoned. You're persecuted, but not abandoned. And I'm going to get back to where I'm at. For we are struck down, but not destroyed. That word there, destroyed, means to be like annihilated. Put to death. We are struck down, but we're not destroyed. We're knocked down, but we're not knocked down. He says, always carrying about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life of Jesus may also be manifested in our body. For we who live are always delivered to death for Jesus' sake, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our mortal flesh. Paul had claimed that the old man had been crucified. But in other scriptures he says, for I've been crucified with Christ, because it's not I that live, but Christ who lives through me. He says, now I live as that new man through Christ. But Paul offered his life as a living sacrifice. Lord, I will do the work that you've called me to do. I do all of my life as a living sacrifice. I count everything else as rubbish. My life is a living sacrifice for you, Lord. I'm willing to lay down my life for your sake. The scriptures even say that Paul says, and I'm not saying I agree with this, but Paul said it. He said, if only I myself could be cut off from heaven, that all my people might be saved. He was even willing in his own mind, in his own thoughts, to say that I would go to hell, that all my people could be saved, the Jewish nation, the people of Israel. He lived a sacrificed life for the sake of the gospel, for the sake of the Lord. And Paul even literally carried the scars of persecution and violence in his own body. Paul had got beaten with rods, whipped, shipwrecked. It was at one of the scriptures, he goes into, he goes into one of the cities, and they stone him. And if they stone someone and they die, they drag them and left their bodies outside the city. The Bible says they dragged his body and left him outside the city. They thought he was dead. How bad have you got to beat someone and stone someone that you think they're dead? There's no movement in them. There's no life in them. They dragged him out the city and they left him for dead. The Bible says he got back up and he prayed and he went back into the city and carried on preaching the gospel. Paul would have literally had the scars of persecution and a Christian life being a minister of the gospel on his body. We're always carried about in our body the dying of the Lord Jesus Christ, that the life of Jesus may be manifested in our body. Paul knew that even though he carried about the death of Jesus Christ within his own heart, that through this the people would see the life of Jesus in him. And I'll tell you what I mean. The enemy will tell us that we suffer too much in this life. That if life's too hard, our unsaved family are drawn away from God. And I've had people say to me, look, you're saved. Look at all the things you've been through. Where's your God at? I don't want that. That somehow, that if you become a Christian, the idea is they want an easy life. If I become a Christian, everything's going to be cushy and I never have any problems. Because ideally, that's what unsaved people want. That's what I wanted. I wanted a saviour that would help me to live the life I wanted to live. And that Jesus don't do that. If I become the enemy, tell you, if you keep going through all this hardship and all this problem, your family ain't going to want to be saved. They're going to look at you and look at your life and go, I don't want that. If that's what it means to be a Christian. He's always struggling. He's always having an hard time. It calls them to run from Jesus. They don't want the same life as that. But elsewhere in the Bible, Paul talks about a sincere faith. And that word there, sincere, is that we use it to say a person's not sincere, like they're not being truthful, or they're not being honest. They're two-faced, they're not sincere, that person. But that word in the Bible, sincere, it was a term used by people who made clay jars and pots. And if you've got a piece of china or something, you might have glued it back together, because it's a bit of Crown Derby or something, you've broken it. You don't want to be in your way or whatever it is, I don't know, right? But let's just say these clay jars, when they made them, they left them out in the sun for too long, they'd crack. They'd have little airline cracks in them. And the people would come along to buy them, and they'd hold them up to the sunlight, and the sun would shine through them, and they could see the cracks in them. And to the people who was buying that jar, they'd say, I don't want it, because it's not sincere. It's not a genuine article. It ain't going to hold water. It's going to break on me easy. That's where the word sincere comes from. Meaning that it was unsincere. It had cracks in it. It wasn't true. It wasn't a good article. But when he says we have this treasure in earthen vessels, imagine having one of them clay jars with loads of cracks in it and little chips and little knocks and little breaks. And then they used to put candles in them as well to stop the wind blowing them out. And overnight, you could see the light coming out the top of this clay jar, and you could see through the light, you could see every crack in it. He says, even though we have the dying of the Lord Jesus in our body, also was manifested in us the life of the Lord Jesus. Let me tell you something about being broken and cracked and feeling useless and not feeling worthy to have the Lord live inside of us. People can see the light of God shining out through them cracks. If there ain't no cracks, they wouldn't be able to see the light. If there's no cracks, they wouldn't be able to see the light. He said that the excellence of the power may not be of us, but it might be of the Lord. When people look at us, they go, look at that broken jar. Look at that cracked jar. It's used gold chips and knocks in it, but look what's inside of it shining out. But the people might say they have something so precious, so wonderful, that even though in our own bodies, in our own life, we might carry about the dying of the Lord Jesus Christ, so people might see the life of the Lord Jesus Christ in us, hallelujah. They might say, I know that man's changed, because I knew what he used to be beforehand, and he couldn't be living the life he's living now if it wasn't for God. That God might get the glory. That people might look at you and go, all the things them people's been through, and they're still following Jesus, God's got to be real. Look at the life they've had. Look at the life they live. They've got this going on. They've got that going on. They've got children ain't well. They've lost family. They've done this. Their life's upside down. They've had so much go on, and they're still following Jesus. And you know what unsaved people do? Say, there's got to be a God. There's got to be a God. That we might carry about the dying of the Lord Jesus Christ in us, but we carry about the life of the Lord Jesus Christ in us. And we have this treasure in earthen vessels. That in the darkest places, the light that's in us shines through them cracks, hallelujah. Shines through them breaks and them little knocks. As a clay jar, I wouldn't be worth tuppence. And I'd be a tidy size as well. You couldn't lift me, could you? You know what I mean? Why don't I like that poor Charles? But what is inside me is so much more precious than what I am. Because I am nothing, but He is everything. Hallelujah. For we who live are always delivered to death for Jesus' sake. He lived to preach the gospel, lived to the point of death, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our mortal flesh, that people might look at them and go, there's got to be God, because otherwise these people wouldn't be living the way they're living. They wouldn't be going through what they're going through. I heard a man say something once. He was witnessing, and they said, oh, the Bible's written by men. And he said, if men writ the Bible, why does it go against everything that men want to do? If you was going to write a book to live by, you'd say, yeah, just easy. Do what you want. Don't cause yourself Niagara. Do you know what I mean? You'd write, it'd be an easy life, wouldn't it? But the Bible goes against everything we want to say, do, and live. Verse 13 says this. Sorry, verse 12. So then death is working in us, but life in you. So we've come, you're preaching the gospel, and we nearly died because of it. But look at you, you're living now in Christ because of the message that was preached to you. And since we have the same spirit of faith according to what is written, I believe, therefore I spoke. We also believe, therefore we speak. I think that I tried to get an idea of what he was trying to say here. And he was talking about, maybe about, having to do with preaching the gospel to others and sharing their faith. But in context with the rest of the scriptures, talking about sharing our faith through testimony. Therefore, he said, we believe, therefore we spoke. About sharing their faith, not only about preaching the gospel, but sharing their faith with testimony. Because what he's saying is, look at what we've gone through, but look at the life that's come from it. We have the scars in our own body, but the dying of the Lord Jesus Christ in our own bodies. But look at what's come from it. Yous have come from it. The preaching of the gospel, you believe because of our testimony. And he said, we believe, and therefore we spoke, and you believe, therefore you will speak. And I want to encourage us tonight, even the testimonies that's been shared tonight. Brothers and sisters, never underestimate the power of a testimony. Whether it be in your own life, the way that you live, or what you speak or share. Sometimes, and let me tell you something, and I'm ashamed to say it, God has done things in my life, for me and my wife, and our children, and things that people don't even know. And I was frightened to share them. I was like, well, I can tick the box on that one, Lord. You've answered that prayer. And I thought, who am I not to share what the Lord has done? Who am I that God has done something wonderful and great in our lives? And I wouldn't share it. I wouldn't give Him the glory for it. But I'd keep it as a secret for myself. Let me tell you something. Never underestimate the power of a testimony. And I want to encourage you tonight. If the brothers come to you and they say, would you share? And I wish I had a pound for everyone every time I've heard this. I don't feel like it tonight. Oh, that's the best one. Nope. Just no. And I understand that. I do understand that. But if you have to wait till you feel like doing something to actually do it, what would you do? Never underestimate the power of a testimony. And God wants you to give Him the glory for the things that He's done. And if there's something that's just for you, then thank God for it. Because sometimes it can be. Sometimes God can just do something and only you know, and it's just for you. He just proved it to you. But let me tell you something. If it can be shared, share it and bless others. Because that brother or sister might be going through exactly that same thing. And might not know a way out. And you come along and share it and bless them and give them hope. your mouth. He says in verse 14, knowing that he who raised us from the Lord, knowing that he who raised up the Lord Jesus will also raise us up with Jesus and will present us with you. For all things are for your sakes, that the grace, having spread through the many, may cause thanksgiving to abound to the glory of God. Paul was anticipating a day when he and all the Corinthians and all believers would be raised from the dead and presented with their glorified bodies before the Lord. He anticipated that day, I read it again, knowing that he who raised up the Lord Jesus will also raise up, who raised up the Lord Jesus will also raise up with Jesus. Verse 14, right? That's you, Dave. That's your fault, right? Knowing that he who raised up the Lord Jesus will also raise us up with the Lord and present us with you. So he's saying, God who raised up Jesus will also raise us and you together. The one day we're going to be presented for the Lord. We must be reminded that there is a day coming when the Lord Jesus Christ is going to return. I've said it before, when I was first saved, we heard Jesus is coming soon, Jesus is coming soon, Jesus is coming soon. And now it's got like, oh, he is coming soon, but we're just sick of saying that. It doesn't mean we'll leave that to one side. But Jesus is coming soon. Paul believed it could have happened in his time. He believed in the preeminence of Jesus Christ, that Christ could return at any moment. And we believe that. We know that to be true. And he said, we're going to be raised up together and presented before the Lord together. The one day we're going to have an heavenly body presented before the Lord. All the saints are going to be together. Brothers and sisters, don't lose sight of that. So I'll tell you the reason why. When Paul encouraged the church about the rapture and about the resurrection of the dead, he said, he called it this, for this is our blessed hope. A blessed hope. Not a disencouragement, not something to fear, not saying to disbelieve, but a blessed hope. That day is coming. We're presented with a glorified body before the Lord, and he said, all these things are done for your sakes, that through the grace that they received, they may glorify God. They understood that they'd received grace, that it was no good, that it was unworthy. He said, let the glorification of God abound, because that grace has come from him and not us. Two things to remember. One day we're going to be glorified with the Lord and we're going to be stood before him, and there'll be no more death, no more sickness, no more tears, no more losing anyone, no more heartache, no more pain, and we'll be with the Lord for eternity. And he says, because of the grace that you've received from God, glorify him, because he's worthy to be glorified. Hallelujah. I want to encourage you tonight, just in a few verses, you might take something away from them verses. Take away this, that we are struck down, but we are not destroyed. We haven't been abandoned, brothers and sisters. God is good. Keep your eyes upon Jesus. God loves you, and he's coming soon, hallelujah. Amen? Amen. Amen. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord. Lord, I do pray.